This is the Phyllis Schlafly Report. Mrs. Schlafly is a leading spokesperson in many of our country's ongoing national debates and has become a clear voice for those who are seeking a return to traditional conservative values. And now, here's Phyllis Schlafly.
Back in 1968, Paul Ehrlich predicted that the world would soon run out of food, oil, and water because people were having too many babies. He turned out to be spectacularly wrong on all counts, but political liberals still make doomsday predictions about overpopulation. Author Jonathan Last has a very different message. He says if America wants to continue to lead the world, we need more babies. His new book is called What to Expect When No One's Expecting America's Coming Demographic Disaster. Author Jonathan Last says the country needs a fertility rate of 2.1 in order to maintain its current population. The U.S. fertility rate is lower. It now stands at only 1.9. Why has the American birth rate fallen so low? It's the result of many cultural forces, including the pill, college, more women in the workforce, delayed marriage, delayed childbirth, and higher divorce rates. Even Social Security and Medicare are factors. First, couples no longer rely on children to care for them in their old age, so they aren't as motivated to go to the trouble of raising them. Second, even those who want more children find it increasingly difficult to afford them. If current trends continue, by 2050, all of America will look like Florida, a state known as God's waiting room because of its disproportionate elderly population. The implications of all this are disconcerting. An aging population combined with low birth rates equals a contracting labor force and a dwindling tax base coupled with massive increases in government payouts. By 2034, there will be only two workers to support each retiree's Social Security. This new book by Jonathan Last is called What to Expect When No One's Expecting America's Coming Demographic Disaster.
This has been the Phyllis Schlafly Report from Eagle Forum. Whether the topic is health care, education, election reform, taxes, or protection of the family, your local state legislators need to hear from you. At eagleforum.org, join the blog conversation with Phyllis Schlafly, and you'll better understand the hot issues in your state. That's at eagleforum.org. Thanks for listening, and join us again next time for the Phyllis Schlafly Report.
It's no secret that Big Brother is spying on your web activity. VPNForAll.com protects your internet from tyranny with military-grade encryption. VPNForAll keep no records of your browsing, so you leave no trace. VPNForAll are in Holland, free from the NSA and police state jurisdiction. Easy to sign up and use. It stops all data mining. Go to VPNForAll.com immediately and stay safe. That's VPN4All.com.
This is Dr. Robert Rowan here to give you an important message regarding stem cell treatment. World-renowned physician, stem cell expert, and friend Dr. David Steinblatt has performed over 8,000 stem cell treatments since 2001. Bone marrow stem cells are completely legal to do here in the USA. The bone marrow stem cell treatment is not only fast, done in less than 2 to 3 hours, but is relatively pain-free and has little to no recovery time. Dr. David Steinblatt and his office are able to help and treat patients who suffer from cerebral palsy, traumatic brain injury, stroke, macular degeneration, arthritis, Parkinson's disease, congestive heart failure, and more. Personally using their services for my knee and seeing great improvement, Dr. David Steinblatt is highly recommended by me. Go to stemcellmd.org or call 800-300-1063 to find out more. Again, stemcellmd.org or call 800-300-1063 today to receive more information.
World-renowned physician and stem cell expert Dr. David Steinblatt, D.O., and his research staff have spent years developing all-natural formulations that support the body's own stem cell production and mobilization system. An everyday stem cell supplement, creating the birth of Stemgevity. Stemgevity stem cell mobilization formula is for use by men, women, and children of all ages to support your body's stem cell system naturally, quickly, and safely. StemGevity helps support your heart and circulatory system, bones and joints, liver, skin, brain, and much more. Order your bottle now at StemGevity.com today. That's StemGevity. StemGevity.com. Or call now toll-free, 800-300-1063. Buy two bottles and receive a third bottle free by mentioning RBN. Anyone who wants to get healthy needs StemGevity. Call 800-300-1063 today.
Earthquakes, hurricanes, nuclear accidents, terror attacks, and all-out social collapse. With the world today more volatile than ever, the future has never looked more uncertain. Survivalist Magazine is the one resource you can't afford to be without. Claim your free trial subscription now at www.survivalist.com, and your first issue ships immediately. Get all the details and more at www.survivalist.com or order by phone. Call 1-866-437-6570. Your survival may depend on it.
Is that one of those old, you know, interludes that we used to have in the old movies?
I'm very soft-spoken, and sometimes, honestly, I don't think they hear me.
Well, you know, we were talking about this article I wrote. They were describing, Mr. Gerlich, you know, the son, who, you know, it started off as a tax evasion. And they raided his apartment and found all of these paintings. They say he doesn't own a television. Okay, and that's strange. Why? He collects newspaper articles. Okay. He listens to radio. That's okay. He's very, very thrifty. This is where I admire him. He says, they say that he doesn't trust people very much, and he especially doesn't trust the German government. I don't trust the government. I don't trust any government, particularly the German government, which is a Jewish vassal state. It's kind of interesting. It says he yearns for the past. So do I. And this is how they described him. This is kind of interesting. And I guess this was a cousin that described him and says that he lives with a constant yearning for the past when men's jackets have three buttons instead of two. Well, I happen to wear, you know, three button Hugo Boss suits. So I guess I'm just as eccentric as he is. So, you know, it's just kind of interesting that, they have really gone over.
Well, now, they've set up a new criteria for what's normal and what isn't. And if you're just a tad bit eccentric, like you say, then something is obviously very wrong with you.
Well, it goes beyond that, Deanna. If you don't conform to to what's in, to what's suave, to the, you know, to what the, what's being promoted by, the Jewish narrative. Now, keep in mind, this man is a Michelin. He is a Michelin. He's not an Aryan. He wouldn't be an Aryan under the National Socialist government. But here's another misnomer. His father not only wasn't sent off to a concentration camp, wasn't persecuted. You know, there's this Jewish narrative that all the Jews in Germany were rounded up and sent to, concentration camps. They weren't allowed to work. They weren't allowed to make a living. Obviously, Mr. Gerlich did very, very well under the National Socialist, had a very, decent position and did very, very well.
A lot of people
and
did.
Thrived. Yes. So, I mean, there is another falsehood. I mean, there are so many false. This story just dispels so many falsehoods that have been put forth by the Jewish narrative. That this alone, this art scam. That's why I wanted to talk to you about it on the show today. It can be used to dispel so many lies that are put forth by the Hollywood Jewish narrative about the National Socialist period. We can just go on and on and on. It is just it's interesting. The man lives. He is not, he lives according to his generation. He lives modestly. He doesn't live extravagantly. He sold a few paintings when he wanted to. He's kept the art collection intact, much like his father did. And let's talk about his father, and then I want to get back, because there's an interesting point. They're putting all of these all of this emphasis on they have to adjudicate this art collection and such. But his father, you know, if this art collection was stolen, or it was somehow legally, legally questionable, first of all, it was, as we said earlier, and I want to make that clear, then why was it reviewed by the monuments, this monuments men that are going to be glorified? They're going to make these, nerdy Jews in U.S. Army uniforms that went around saving the art from the evil Nazis, which was a lie and a canard in and of itself. Hollywood's going to make them into the next great, heroes of World War II. Then why were they, they checked it out, released him, and he went on about his way. But his father, Hildebrand, died in 1956. But he wrote a six-page essay on the history. He documented his entire collection. This is the collection that went when he passed away, died in a car crash. It went to his wife, now it sits with the son. And it's kind of interesting. He made some very interesting comments. This is from the essay. Der Spiegel published it. And he said, when I speak of my collection, forgive me if I also have to tell the story of my life. And he goes on and talks about growing up in Dresden, and talks about the various artists who used to frequent his house when he was younger. His father was, and mother was into the, was appreciative of the arts as well. And it's interesting. He says that his father was stationed at Versailles in 1871 when Bismarck established the German Empire. It's just an interesting note he's talking about. But he goes on. And this is where in this essay, you read this essay, he talks about having lost his jobs as curators at various museums before the NSDAP had come to power. He further goes on, and here's a very telling statement in the essay. And now there is one page missing. It was a six-page essay. One page is missing. Nobody knows where it's at. He says, a great many works of modern art passed through my hands. They came from painters, from emigrated clients and friends, from people who preferred to sell the paintings as a precaution from the depot of confiscated art. And he goes on and he says, if you had enough, you could buy very beautiful paintings. He goes on and talks about the collection. But again, you talk about if you had enough money. So the essay in of itself talks, dispels the notion that these were being undervalued or devalued, just to be, were being devalued. He's talking about you had to come up with enough money to purchase them. Now, this he's writing in 19, I think this essay was done shortly before he was killed in the car crash. And the purpose of this essay was he was developing the book, the catalog. He was going to exhibit the entire collection. Now, wouldn't you think that if there was some questions as to the legality of this collection and the legitimacy and claims of this collection, why was he developing a catalog and documenting it and preparing it for exhibition?
Exactly.
Especially in 1956 Germany, where Germany was still occupied. And the statute of limitations had not yet run out. Now, the German legal scholars today are saying, the German government's in a conundrum because, one, the son has not committed any crime. He's certainly not stolen anything. And they can't say that the father did any as well. So it's fascinating. But it gets even more interesting, Ian, as we talk about looted art. They are spending a lot of time and effort to try to make this into, and again, keep this big lie, another big lie. There's so many big lies about, and we talked about that on prior shows, you know, and I've been on your show about so many lies about the National Socialist period. You know, now they're saying that, you know, well, Hitler and the National Socialists really weren't responsible for the Autobahn. They weren't responsible for the Volkswagen. They really just didn't do anything. I mean, they're erasing graves. You know, they got rid of Hitler's parents' graves. They got rid of Rudolf Hess. I mean, they're trying to erase that entire period of history. In the meantime, Russia, modern Russia, pick it up on the other side.
All righty. We'll be back after a word from our sponsors.
Herbal Healer Spring Sale. 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes. COQ10 with hawthorn, glucosamine chondroitin, sea cucumber, colloidal minerals, superfam and super male plaques, colon enhancer, our top selling liquid, cow mag vitamin D, MSM sulfur capsules, and elderberry power capsules. We also offer certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Free memberships and free online newsletters also available at herbalhealer.com. Herbal Healer has been serving the natural medicine industry for 25 years. This is a company you can count on. Visit herbalhealer.com today. Herbalhealer.com. That's herbalhealer.com.
Our infrastructure is failing and our government is corrupt. We have some hard times ahead. If there was no way to get medical help, what would you do? How are you going to protect the safety of your family during a crisis when there are no doctors, hospitals, emergency services, or supplies? Supernatural Silver is the answer. Supernatural Silver is a nano-engineered silver unlike any other silver product on the market today. This technology has advanced antibacterial, antiviral, and antifungal properties. And more than 200 independent clinical studies and trials have shown that it's effective in over 500 different uses. Supernatural Silver can be stockpiled and stored for over 10 years. And in a collapse, it could be priceless. It can be used daily to fight off colds, flus, and other pathogens, and yet it's powerful enough to combat some of the most deadly diseases in the world today. Make sure your home is well stocked with Supernatural Silver. To order, go to supernaturalsilver.com. That's supernaturalsilver.com. Use the promo code SILVER2013 for 20% off, and like us on Facebook.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back. This is Deanna. Our guest today is Rodney Martin. He is the director of Worldview Foundations. His website is wvfoundations.org.
What I was going to go into, and then I want to cover this item, and then I want to talk about another example of issue that this story dispels. While the German government and the media is just howling that they actually have to make this Gerlich scandal into, they have to conform it to the Jewish narrative and make it into Nazi art looting. which it's not. There is another issue of art looting in Germany that is still unresolved. And that is, you know, as we know, that the two Germanys, the former GDR, German Democratic Republic, and the Communist Germany, and the Federal Republic, they united in 1991. It was a two-year process. They started the reunification talk, and they finally united in 1990-1991. But what, you know, the GDR were horrendous art looters. And there has been an ongoing issue. For decades, artworks, I mean, it was paintings, sculptures, china, all sorts of artworks were seized by the GDR from individuals, you know, from private persons. And they basically, some of the, you know, what few museums they had, they stocked it by seizing individuals' art in the GDR. And then, of course, when the GDR became the Federal Republic of Germany, people said, well, we want our stuff back. And to this day, there's been no, these people have not been made whole. I mean, these people, you know, had documented evidence that the communists, you know, walked in their homes and says, we need to make, you know, great communist museums. And of course, you know, what they didn't want to admit was the great talent had left the GDR. You know, they'd fled the GDR to the West. And so they basically went and took art, and you know, that had predated the GDR, art that had been developed in none other than National Socialist time, because the degenerate art was gone. And so, you know, these beautiful artworks, and then some, you know, and then some, you know, more modern art that had, you know, people had painted and done themselves. But they seized it, and then of course, when the GDR fell, they people are still waiting. And there was an article most recently, oh, it was about 2 months ago, in DW Journal, and there's a famous case. A gentleman by the name of Heinz Dietl is still. He had all of his family art seized by the GDR in 1973, but he cataloged it. He was very smart. He cataloged it and made a point, since from 1973 until the fall of the GDR, following and keeping track of where all of his family's artworks were, including paintings, china, sculpture, a lot. And he has filed claims, and the German government has done nothing for Mr. Dietl and his family. But there is an example where you actually have art looting. The when the two Germanys merged, there was special legislation, what we would call legislation, that would allow former East Germans to make claims of wrongs that were committed against them. But those museums, former GDR museums, still have all of this stolen art on exhibit in cities such as Leipzig, even one in the former East Berlin, and in other former East German cities. And to this day, the Federal Republic has done nothing about the that was art looting by the GDR. But yet they are paying all of this international attention to this situation of Gerlich, where he legally has possession of this art. His father paid for it in accordance with German law, a German law that was codified by the Allied Control Council. And when I say it was codified by the Allied Control Council, which makes it legal in the today's Germany, let me explain that just for a minute. The Germany does not have a constitution, and you've heard people like Werner come in and talk about that. Oh, someone's posted Jim Condit in the chat room. Remember, Deanna, he never came back for part two of our debate.
But, I know. I emailed him numerous times, and I don't know what happened. He just never responded. Maybe he had cold feet-itis too.
Well, I don't know. Well, anyway, as I was saying, the Allied Control Council ran Germany until Germany decided they wouldn't even have it. The Allies actually got rid of the Weimar Constitution. The National Socialists never rescinded the Weimar Constitution. They operated within the Weimar Constitution, with the exception is they amended it several times by votes of the Reichstag. It was the Allied Control Council. Germany operates under basic law, and when they developed their basic law in 1948-49, they incorporated many provisions of the edicts and declarations of the Allied Control Council. You will find footnotes and statements in German basic law that says Article A of the Allied Control Council shall be incorporated. So it's just – it's interesting. So when I talk about that with regard to the law that the National Socialists enacted regarding degenerate art, that is why the modern-day Germany has a – you know, is really in a pickle, because Mr. Gerlich has a legal title to these paintings. And you know, so there's 600 of them of the 1,400 is what is at issue here. And it's truly fascinating. And of course, you know, one of the, I want to talk about another, false narrative of, falsehood of the Jewish narrative that this entire issue dispels. And that is, we talked about how, you know, Jews weren't allowed to work or make a living. They were shipped off to these death camps, which didn't exist.
Is this where I pull out my violin?
Yes, please. Please start playing the Schindler's List violin. But you know, another one was that all the artists they were thrown out of jobs. They couldn't work. They couldn't paint. They were excluded from their passion, etc. Blah blah blah. More violin music. But one of the artists whose paintings are prevalent in the Gerlich collection is an artist by the name of Otto Dix. And we see a lot of his paintings when we talk about the degeneracy of Weimar. And let's talk about Otto Dix for a little bit, because there is a – in highlighting Otto Dix, because they've showed a lot of his paintings when they've talked – about the Gerlich art scandal. What they're not talking about is the fact that Otto Dix was also anti-Weimar, and he did very well under the National Socialist government. In fact, he lived through the National Socialist government and was actually a member of the Reich's Chamber of Culture. But he was classified as a degenerate artist because he was a modern artist, and there was no room for modern artists in the National Socialist, the new National Socialist worldview. No, there's no denying that. But he was an interesting person. Otto Dix served in World War I, and he was actually awarded the Iron Cross. And he served on both the Eastern and well, he served first on the Western Front, and he saw action at the Battle of the Somme, which was a horrific battle in World War I. And he also then was transferred and served on the Eastern Front until the Russia left the war. But a lot of his paintings, Dix's paintings, depicted the horrors of World War I in a modern sense. And we'll pick this up.
Alrighty, we'll be right back in 3 minutes.
Everyone around me seems to get sick but me. My brother got the flu twice, my mother was down with some sort of fever, people at work were taking sick days off, and others were just plain tired and run down. And me? Well, I just keep feeling great all the time with Extendivite. My grandfather used to talk about the power of garlic and other herbs he took that kept him healthy. I'm lucky. Extendivite was just what I needed to keep me healthy, and Extendivite is all natural. Extendivite was designed for the heart, but does so much more by keeping me healthy all the time. I'll take Extendivite forever. Get your 2-month supply for only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. My name is Rick, and you can be like me just by calling 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with with Extendovite.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
World-renowned physician and stem cell expert Dr. David Steenblok, D.O., and his research staff have spent years developing all-natural formulations that support the body's own stem cell production and mobilization system. An everyday stem cell supplement, creating the birth of Stemgevity. Stemgevity stem cell mobilization formula is for use by men, women, and children of all ages to support your body's stem cell system naturally, quickly, and safely. Stemgevity helps support your heart and circulatory system, bones and joints, liver, skin, brain, and much more. Order your bottle now at Stemgevity.com today. That's Stemgevity. Stemgevity.com. Or call now toll-free, 800-300-1063. Buy two bottles and receive a third bottle free by mentioning RBN. Anyone who wants to get healthy needs Stemgevity. Call 800-300-1063 today.
Ground beef, eggs, butter, cheese, soup, sandwiches, strawberries, ice cream, coffee, and more. What do these foods have in common? They all come in storable, long shelf life food for you to save and use in uncertain times. Rather, if it is a meal or a snack, for a family or just yourself, CampingSurvival.com offers a huge variety of storable food for you to be prepared anytime. Go to CampingSurvival.com to order all your food. Eat today, save it for tomorrow, or store it for years to come. CampingSurvival.com sells healthy, nutritious, storable food in number 10 cans and pouches. Order online today at CampingSurvival.com. Use code FREEDOM and receive 5% off. CampingSurvival.com. Remember, save 5% off with code FREEDOM at CampingSurvival.com on all your prepared food needs.
That moment of panic. Sheer terror, really. You're afraid to answer the phone, frightened by who might be at the door. If you're facing foreclosure or being harassed by debt collectors, you know the feeling. You need to visit WhatLiesInYourDebt.com to turn the tables on the banksters, collection agencies, and other crooks. WhatLiesInYourDebt.com has solutions. WhatLiesInYourDebt.com features live training webinars from experts, a member forum, support from experts who've been where you are right now and came out the other side in a better financial situation. If you are like millions of Americans who are behind on their mortgage, behind on their credit cards, or just being harassed by debt collectors, then this system is for you. We promise. If you cannot stop your foreclosure, even if it's imminent, if you cannot stop those debt collectors from bugging you, if you cannot clean up your credit, and finally, if you cannot make a few thousand bucks during the entire process, make money from the debt collectors, yes, at WhatLiesInYourDebt.com, we will refund your money 100% in the first 60 days. Don't fear the bill collectors anymore. Visit WhatLiesInYourDebt.com.
Welcome back. This is Deanna. Our guest today is Rodney Martin, the director of Worldview Foundations. The website is wvfoundations.org, and we will take calls at 800-313-9443.
Well, as I was saying before the break, Deanna, Otto Dix, and I'm highlighting him. He, you know, there's a significant number of his paintings in the Gerlich collection, and that's what I'm going to refer to it as, the Gerlich collection, because those paintings were legitimately acquired by Hildebrand Gerlich. They were passed on to his wife upon his death, and then from the wife to the son. And of course, what I wanted to also accomplish during the show was this issue, this so-called Gerlich scandal, dispels so many of the Jewish false narratives about the National Socialist period. It dispels the fact of all of these paintings being destroyed by the Germans when in fact they were not. It dispels the false narrative that the Germans stole the paintings. And the fact is they had an intricate system of taking them out of the public domain by purchasing and paying, fair market price to the owners. Why would you hire Mr. Gerlich to actually go around and purchase them and go through the brokering process? It dispels so much. It dispels the fact that Mishlings, you know, people of Jewish had a certain degree of Jewish descent, were not able to make a decent living and function in German society. It dispels the Holocaust fraud that is perpetrated. And now another one. It's talking about the artists themselves. Part of the Jewish narrative is that the artists themselves were persecuted, shipped off, you know, were taken down to the stadium and forced to cut grass with their teeth, blah, 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 blah. Getting back to Otto Dix, he, by all accounts, he actually volunteered and was very much a German nationalist in the First World War. But he's seen some horrific. He had what came out of World War One with what we would call today PTSD, because of the horrendous things that he saw at the Battle of the Somme, and then on the Eastern Front where he stayed until the Russians left the war. He started painting. As a matter of fact, right when Russia left the war, there was still about a year left in the war. He started pilot training, and he was going to be a pilot. I mean, Otto Dix, I'm not as hard on Otto Dix as a lot of people are. I detest modern art, but at the same time, you look at him in the overall context, he was also vehemently anti-Weimar. I can't remember the first name, but the blog, was it Lasha Dark Moon, wrote an outstanding article on the sexual degeneracy of Weimar. And she actually, the painting that they used was an Otto Dix painting, and it showed a jazz cabaret in the center. And the painting, that particular painting, I believe that was the Metropolis painting, if I remember correctly, but there was two side panels to that painting. And what Otto Dix was saying in that painting was that Weimar was, there was two nations in Weimar. Weimar was so degenerate. You had the very rich, you know, i.e. Jews that were partying away and were very wealthy and doing very well. And then you had the people dying and suffering on the streets and were starving to death in the streets of Weimar. He was absolutely anti-Weimar, and he used his modern art, to confront what he considered, what we would call the social injustices of Weimar. He also used modern art to castigate Weimar society for the loss of status of war veterans, which he found just absolutely distasteful. The fact that you would see homeless war veterans who had served Germany with iron crosses living on the streets with amputated legs, begging and starving to death. A lot of his art spoke to that as well. Again, I don't want people to think that I am endorsing degenerate modern art. I am not. What I am saying is that we got to look at this in the overall context. Otto Dix confronted Weimar. He was anti Weimar, but at the same time, he was not locked up in a concentration. His art was removed from galleries. It was brokered. It was sold. And as we see, it was not destroyed. As a matter of fact, I have a quote from his granddaughter. His granddaughter is delighted. She had a quote in a German art journal, and she is delighted to find out that his art is, quote, alive and well, because she says she grew up being lied to and being told that her grandfather's art had been destroyed. Some of the specific paintings that have been, that are in the Gerlich collection were destroyed. And so she is very fascinating. She says, quote, "I am rejoiced to learn that the art is alive and well. It made me happy to naturally know that it had not been destroyed as I had been told while I was growing up." That's a direct quote from Otto Dix's granddaughter. So there's a lot to be learned from this, a lot of lessons to be learned from this Gerlich example. And we go on about Otto Dix. Yes, his art was removed. It was brokered. It was removed from the public domain. But he was not locked up and thrown in a concentration camp. As a matter of fact, he was arrested one time, and that was during the one assassination attempt on Hitler in 1939 that George Elser, somebody denounced him. In fact, you can actually go online to the German archives, and the somebody asked in the chat room about the Gestapo. A significant amount of the Gestapo records are available online. There's a link at my website that'll take you to the German archives. You'll have to use, if you're not a German speaker, you'll have to open each file and then translate with an online translator each specific file. But it's interesting because if there was really an immoral or illegal or lawless law enforcement or judicial system in Germany or the National Socialists, this would have been the perfect time to get Otto Dix and send him off to Dachau or execute him. They reviewed him. He was detained for precisely one day. And he was released, and the Gestapo determined that the denunciation of him being involved with George Elsner was not credible. Otto Dix went on and served in the Volkssturm, the Home Guard, and defended Germany against the Allies on the Western Front, and was captured in combat fighting the French. And was subsequently released as a prisoner of war in mid-1946.
Interesting.
Yep. So, I mean, the concept that there are so many misconceptions that can be cleared up and confronted, lies about the Jewish narrative, that it is it's absolutely it's just a fascinating issue to study and talk about in a much broader context. Do we have any callers? If not, I can go on and.
No, we don't. We have Nelson in Wisconsin.
Okay.
Nelson, welcome to the program.
Hello.
Yes, hello.
Oh, it's deer hunting season here in Wisconsin.
Okay.
And I shot a deer and it started to run away and I hit it right in the arse.
So what's your point, Nelson? We're not talking about deer hunting on the program today. Do you have something to contribute?
I thought this was the deer hunting show.
Do you have something relevant to contribute to the program or not?
Yeah, shooting deers.
Okay, I think you've called into the wrong program. Thank you for your phone call. Goodbye.
Well, that was interesting. If it's deer hunting, maybe he can catch a deer for Thanksgiving instead of being a turkey. But that's fine. You know, it's what's fascinating, Deanna, and I mentioned this before we went to one of the breaks, is that I'm going to talk a little bit about it's both legal and also this uncomfortable. We talked about this before, how the Germans have tried to make May the 7th, 1945, year one. They're trying to erase the period of history, 1933 to 1945. They're tearing down grave markers. They tore down Hitler's grave marker. They've tore down Rudolf Hess's grave. I was in email communication with Heider Heydrich, who is Reinhard Heydrich's son. And I asked him specifically once, you know, about his father's grave. Reinhard Heydrich is buried between the German historical greats Gneisenau and Scharnhorst. And yet Heydrich's grave is just a empty plot between these two ornate decorative graves in Invaliden Cemetery. And it's overrun by weeds and stuff. And Heider Heydrich told me in an email that he has made on three occasions requests to at least clean up his father's grave and put a very simple marker on his grave, because originally his father did have a grave marker, and it was destroyed by the Soviets. And then, of course, during the Cold War, Invaliden was in the no man's land when the Berlin Wall was up. Heider Heydrich is not even allowed to clean the weeds off of his father's grave.
Wow. All righty, we are going to a quick 3-minute break. When we come back, we will hear from Werner, who I can testify will not talk about deer hunting.
All right.
John Stadtmiller here. Sometimes in life you get lucky. Well, today is your lucky day. Our sponsor, AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com, have just announced their biggest savings yet on their one-month food supply by Linden Farms. This great one-month pack includes over 360 servings, based on 2,000 calories per day. While supplies last, you'll get one free month of long-term emergency food entrees when you buy three. This is a massive savings of $600 on a four-month supply. Again, AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com is giving you buy 3 months, get an additional 1 month of food free. This is a great deal. Act fast. The site, again, is AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com or call them directly at 818-720-0759, 818-720-0759. Let them know John sent you. Do it today. AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. Veteran-owned and operated.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer-rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next-generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology, all while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com. Or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821. Or visit PureEffectFilters.com.
Are you prepared? Are you ready? You should be. CampingSurvival.com is your source for camping supplies, survival gear, and survival food. Whether you are an emergency preparedness-minded individual interested in MRE, a hardcore hiker in need of paracord, a water filter system and fire piston, or you just need a basic first aid kit or emergency kit for the family, CampingSurvival.com is the right place. Call CampingSurvival.com today, toll free at 800-537-1339. CampingSurvival.com. It's not about the end of the world. It's not about surviving a hypothetical plane crash. It's about the satisfaction you get knowing you can take care of yourself and or your family in any situation, anytime, anywhere. Visit CampingSurvival.com now and receive 5% off any purchase with the code FREEDOM. CampingSurvival.com.
Earthquakes, hurricanes, nuclear accidents, terror attacks, and all-out social collapse. With the world today more volatile than ever, the future has never looked more uncertain. Survivalist Magazine is the one resource you can't afford to be without. Claim your free trial subscription now at www.survivalist.com and your first issue ships immediately. Get all the details and more at www.survivalist.com or order by phone. Call 1-866-437-6570. Your survival may depend on it.
Nice shooting. Hey, that's a sweet AK-47 chest rig. Is that multicam?
Yep, got it from StrikeHardGear.com.
Strike what?
StrikeHardGear.com.
Set your sights on StrikeHardGear.com. Tough, tactical gear for your Soviet-style weapon that's made in the USA. Affordable, plus a no-questions-asked 30-day money-back guarantee and lifetime replacement warranty. StrikeHardGear.com. Go ahead, pull the trigger.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest today is Rodney Martin. He is the director of Worldview Foundations. His website is wvfoundations.org, and we do have Ferner on the phone. Let's take Ferner's call. Ferner, welcome to the program.
Good afternoon, Dan, and good afternoon, Rodney.
Hi.
As I say, you know, they can fool some of the people some of the time, all of the people some of the time, but not all of the people all of the time. And I think basically the trend is reversing now. More and more people become aware, and I realize now how many times I passed on wrong information because I was brought up with the information because I was growing up in Germany, it was controlled by the Allies, and they controlled the school system, and they controlled the media, and so on. And I'm glad that gradually more and more things come out in the open. Rodney mentioned there in the beginning about the art treasures being hidden away, you know, removed out of the cities that were being bombed to smithereens and put in safety in salt mines. There was just only about 15 miles away from where I come, the town, Northeim. There was, when I grew up, people were talking about the salt mine in Vogelberg, that some of the art treasures had been stashed away, had been hidden away, and that the place was booby-trapped to basically keep plunderers away, you know. And here's another tidbit. Hitler's bodyguard and driver, I understand, he was a Jew, and he was his confidant and his friend. There goes another myth. Then about 20 years ago, I got some material sent from people in Ontario, and they pointed out that, I think it was 1944 or 43, there were about 200 Jewish men were supposed to be taken to the one of the concentration camps, but they were married to Aryan women. So about 200 of the women, they went in Berlin on the street and they demonstrated. And their husbands stayed home. They stayed with their families. Then another tidbit. Rome, when down around the Mediterranean, North Africa, and Italy, when that and Greek, you know, the Eastern Mediterranean, when the warfare was going on there, the German troops, on order, got removed from Rome, because the German authorities didn't want those irreplaceable historic treasures in Rome to be bombed to smithereens. But what the Allies did only too willingly in northern France, you know, when they bombed the city of Cayenne, and I think there was another city in Alsace-Lorraine. And as I say, the French civilian population paid a dear price for the... for being freed by the Allies from the Nazi menace. About 60,000 French civilians died in the Allied bombing raids on French cities. So,
wow.
As I say, there are a few tidbits, and thanks to the Internet, more and more of this information becomes now available. And I wish people would stop buying that... and swallowing that misinformation Kool-Aid that has been passed on, especially in North America, for the last hundred years.
Indeed. Oh. And Werner, we want to wish you well when you go to court on Thursday.
Yeah. Oh, as I say, you know, we have to do what we have to do, and then leave it up to the Lord. And you know,
exactly.
If it fits within the schedule, okay. But we have to do what we have to do.
Sure.
You know, and thank you all, you know, for standing up to, and I'm glad that Rodney got a message there from Wayne.
Yes, yes.
And as I say, we have to look out for each other because the government isn't doing it.
Exactly. And we wish you well, and we will be thinking about you on Thursday.
Thank you. And, Dan, there's this other issue that I was talking to you about yesterday morning.
Yes.
About where whistleblowers and people who want the truth, where they're being basically bullied, and where governments use the psychiatric profession. You know, basically
yes.
like the Czechos and like the KGB in the Soviet Union.
Yes.
You know, in order to give themselves a humane face, that they are so much concerned about our welfare and our well-being. I only say BS.
Exactly. And you can certainly say that. So, thank you for your phone call.
And thank you.
Okay.
You are one in not just only one in a million, one in 10 million.
Oh, you're very kind. You're very kind. But certainly we will be thinking about you on Thursday and wish you well.
Thank you, Diane.
All righty. Bye-bye. Okay, Rodney.
Well, you know, Werner always makes excellent points. And another issue, one other example is Monte Cassino in Italy. The Allies destroyed Monte Cassino. You know, there was no German, there's no German troops in Monte Cassino, but yet they just obliterated Monte Cassino, another cultural treasure. And you look at the prosecution of the war, and you know, look at how Germany prosecuted its war effort versus the Allies. The Allies just not only raped, robbed, and pillaged, but they just bombed and obliterated France. They bombed and obliterated Italy, and of course the Soviets, what they did. I mean, it's incredible, but you have this false narrative where they blame the Germans for everything. And as far as stolen art, you know, and things getting stolen, as a matter of fact, there was just an article out where this 96-year-old Frenchman is auctioning things that he stole out of Hitler's house at the Berghof, photo albums and such, because he thought it would be nice to sell them to give his grandchildren some money or something. We're seeing more and more items that were, you know, stolen by Allied troops and, you know, again, you know, rape, robbed, and pillage in the aftermath of Europe. And what I wanted to cover as we are getting close to the end of the show, if there was so much of this valuable art that was stolen or gotten rid of by the Nazis, let's look at the top 10 most wanted or missing pieces of art. There's a Rembrandt Storm by the Sea of Galilee. It disappeared in 1990. Well, that can't be blamed on those evil Nazis. There's a Picasso that was disappeared in 2010. There's another Picasso that disappeared in October of 2012. There's another painting called The Just Judges from the Ghent altarpiece. That disappeared in 1934 in Belgium, not in Germany. There was another piece, and it is, I'm not even going to try to pronounce it. It's a Slavic. It's called View from Orsi. It disappeared in 2000. Then there is another, now this is the only piece, the top 10 missing pieces of art, called Raphael's Portrait of a Young Man. It disappeared after the war in 1945. And this is when Hans Frank, the Governor General of Poland, moved the art collection to a castle, which the last occupiers of that castle were Allied troops. Now, what do you bet an Allied soldier rolled that up and took it home? The last one was Nativity with St. Francis at St. Lawrence. It disappeared in 1969. The other one, a Van Gogh Congregation Leaving the Reformed Church at Noyon. It disappeared in 2002. The last, number 10, Vermeer's The Concert, disappeared in 1990. So the top 10, out of the top 10 most valuable missing pieces of artwork, only one dates to the 1933-1945, and it disappeared after it was put in safekeeping in a castle by Hans Frank and after that castle was occupied by Allied troops. So, you know, this is so nonsensical, this art thing, this art scandal. I mean, were there cases where the Germans engaged in war trophies? Yes, but the Germans did not steal art.
Indeed. Well, thank you so very much, as always, for being on the program and for portraying things accurately, and we really appreciate it. So thank you so much, Rodney.
Thank you. Have a happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Thank you, and you too.
Enjoy your families.
Yes, indeed. Bye-bye. Talk with you tomorrow.